Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Rico Beard. Did you know the Valenti Show with Rico is not just a radio show, but also a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Catch the full episode, listen to individual hours, or just jump straight to the highlights. Open up your favorite podcast app, search for Valenti Show with Rico, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way on your time.
Scale 1 to 12, where are you on the panic meter as it pertains to our Detroit Tigers last night? Last night, my friends, impotent offensively, and when they did threaten, if the ball's hitting the gap, Stephen Kwan's going to run it down. If if the ball's in the corner, Stephen Kwan's going to chase it down and make a single, a double, a single. If the Lions are in the red zone, Stephen Kwan's going to get a stop. If the Red Wings are on the power play, Stephen Kwan's going to kill the power play.
100%.
This guy is – I want to be so annoyed by him, but what's annoying about him is that he's just freaking good. And it feels like – I felt like Stephen Kwan almost single-handedly won that damn game last night, chasing down balls in the outfield.
I feel like it's two games in a row he's done it. He is – I mean, he is the quintessential – team player. He's everything that you want in a player without being the gaudy statistic guy. He's not the superstar player, but my God, does that guy help you win?
Yep.
And look, I don't know what his WAR is. The WAR stat. You know, I don't like the WAR stat. And when I saw it last night,
on a scale of 1 to 12, it's a 12.
When I saw that Dylan Dingler's WAR is like a 4.1, which is the third highest catcher WAR in team history or something like that, and it was like right on par with a Pudge Rodriguez WAR, it was like, and Alex Avila had a higher WAR than Pudge. I was like, what is? That's why I don't like the stat, because I think it's ridiculous. Stephen Kwan's WAR should be like double digits. He does every little thing that helps you win a baseball game. If you need him to sacrifice a guy over, he'll do that. If you need him to just, you know, have a 12-pitch at bat and annoy the pitcher, he'll do that. If you need him to hit something in the gap, he can do that, and he can do everything defensively. He's phenomenal. He's absolutely phenomenal without being a superstar. You know, Jose Ramirez is a superstar for Cleveland. I love Jose Ramirez.
Yep.
But Stephen Kwan might be the most valuable player on that team.
248-539-9797. It is Carson Anderson here on 97.1 The Ticket. I'll have my panic meter rating, your panic meter rating, Kang. Get Kenny, everybody involved, including right to the phones on this Thursday morning from outside Comerica Park. We go to Mike. You're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Okay. All right, Mike.
Hey, so I'm at about an 8 right now for the panic meter. The reason I'm not at like a 1, it's a new day. It's a different day. You don't play baseball on paper. But and obviously, Scooble starting. But I'm not at a 12 either. Sorry, the reason I'm not at a 12 is because of that. The reason I'm as high as an 8 is because I don't trust our bullpen to hold a 1 or 2 run lead, which you see time and time again. Scooble starts, Tigers get up 2-0, 6th inning, he comes out, great outing, 2 hits, no runs, whatever, gajillion strikeouts, and then the bullpen comes in and just screws it all up. And the hitting just doesn't back that up enough either. I'd like to see like a 6-0 Scooble start for the Tigers. You know, Tigers get up 6-0, give the bullpen some leeway. Then I can drop my panic meter down to like a 4.
Yeah, I'd have to look back at the numbers and see what they are for September. But in August, the bullpen was like best in baseball. But in September, I kind of feel like there have been some games that we've seen it get away from a little bit. And that kind of coincides with Finnegan's injury and going on the injured list. And if you heard A.J. Hinch this morning, he said they hope to have him back this weekend. That he'll pitch tonight for Toledo in Iowa. And that if all goes well, he'll meet the team tomorrow and hopefully be available to them maybe Saturday afternoon or evening, whatever they play. But it is a concern for sure. It's like, I don't know who you trust, Doug, but I trust Finnegan when he's in there, but hasn't been. And I really trust Melton. And aside from that, it's a lot of, not sure. Montero's been very good for them.
Okay, I'm not saying taking anything for granted, right? But assuming there is a postseason, which of the 16 guys are going to be in this bullpen?
Yeah,
you know, they'll have some decisions to make about which guys they trust the most. I guess we'll find out, because right now they're using the minors as basically extra roster spots. They're sending guys up and down so they can have different guys at different matchups at different times. But at the end of the day, they got to sort something out. And that's why today is just a massive day. It's a Scooble start. He had the health scare. And this needs to be a calm the F down. I got this kind of start. And then you got Kyle Finnegan going an inning for Toledo out in Iowa. And he didn't want the rehab start. He wanted to go right back into the Tiger bullpen, which is great news because that says to me that he's feeling better. But, they need Scooble to do Scooble-like things, and they need Finnegan to go throw his one inning in Des Moines or wherever the F they are in Iowa and come back and be ready to go this weekend.
Yeah, and you know what else they need to do? Score some runs.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing that goes, okay, sure, bullpen gave up a couple runs last night, but the Tigers didn't score any runs, and that's a problem. You know, they had opportunities to do it, and they just
plenty
couldn't come up with a big hit. Yeah, there were plenty of them. They couldn't come up with a big hit, and Cleveland did. And that's what sucks. The aforementioned Stephen Kwan is a big reason why they didn't score.
Mike is at an 8.0. Alex, you're next here on 97.1 The Ticket. Hello, Alex.
Hey, guys. How are we doing?
Okay.
Good. I'm at probably a 9. I want to take you guys to the 6th inning yesterday. Kerry Carpenter usually would get taken out, but he gets a leadoff double off a lefty, which was great to see. Bummer that that's first time you've seen a lefty. And then Bork is just pressing. That first pitch, he tries to hit it a million feet, and then he strikes out later in that bat. I just wish he would just get the runner over. It's a 2-0 game. We can get within one run in the 6th inning. So I just think they're pressing at the plate right now, and it's just hard to watch.
I mean, Torque's coming off a 4-hit game. I think you're pressing when you're really struggling. He was great Tuesday, and then he did barrel that weird one up where he was down on a knee.
Yeah.
That was a weird inning because he hit that one foul, and then Riley Green and Dingler both hit it hard, right to people, and I one of the reasons why my panic meter isn't going to be as high as 9 or 8 is because I think they hit the ball really hard last night. And generally, you're rewarded for it. But it was within that radius of Kwan, or it was right at Jones out there and right. It was always right to someone. I mean, even in the 7th, it took a great play by Ramirez at third, and it was a great play on a hard hit ball to wipe out that threat. And so they did hit it hard. And the other thing that's going on, low-key, is that actually – Mize and Flaherty have put together 5 consecutive good starts between the two of them. And I that makes me feel better about if they get to the postseason. But, you know, it's not like they got to win the games. Like,
right.
I could sit here and say not everything's doom and gloom, and it's why I'm not panicked and why, you know, today's a new day, et cetera, et cetera. But you got to win the games. The bullpen hasn't been great lately, and they're not scoring runs. And problems right there. Alex, thank you. 248-539-9797. We welcome in Kang back at our studios. Kang, how are you today?
Douglas, I'd be better if the Tigers won last night, but I'm okay.
Yeah, all right, good. These are, you know, it's funny listening to AJ talk. Guys, this does feel like playoff baseball, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, we're outside Comerica Park. Tigers taking on Cleveland this afternoon. It is a Scooble start. We'll have our panic meter scores coming up after the break. Also, we swing around the NFL with the Wide 9 Omaha 4-Down Around League Blitz thingy today at 10:30. We do it every Thursday here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket. Hey.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Rico Beard. Did you know the Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, but also a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Catch the full episode, listen to individual hours, or just jump straight to the highlights. Open up your favorite podcast app, search for Valeni Show with Rico, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way on your time.
There you go. That is AJ Hinch following last night's game. And Stephen Kwan. Yep, Stephen Kwan has just been out there saving run after run after run. The Tigers get shut out. And look, you're going to play good teams. You got to overcome it. They did hit the ball hard quite a bit last night, and they're starting pitching. Some of the key guys, Mize and Flaherty, have been pitching better, but at the end of the day, they keep losing games. And that's what matters. All these little metrics and things that they could do well are things that can lead to winning, which is why my panic meter, Scott, right now is currently at a 2.5.
2.5, huh?
2.5 on a scale of 1 to 12. What are you at?
I am at, going into today's game, I am at about a 4.
Gators at a 4.0.
It's not that high. And if the Tigers win, then it drops down to like a 1.5. I mean, it's this is a kind of a pivotal game for me, because if they lose, that number just drops down to trouble. You know, 3.5 game lead. You still have 3 games against Cleveland to play next week. That's concerning. So that's where I'm at. You know, you heard Costa say this morning that he's, 3.8 or whatever it was, and that if they lose, then
3.87.
Yeah, and he said it depends on what happens with today, and I totally agree with that. But that's why I say going into it, I'm about a 4, about the same as Jim, but I'll be concerned. I'll be a little panicked if they lose today.
Kang, what are you at?
The context of the question of panic meter, to make the playoffs, do something in the playoffs. I just want to be sure before I give my my number.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's.
It's again, it's just winning
the
division.
It's all encompassing, but yeah, I mean, I guess we start with winning the division.
Oh, for winning the division, yeah, I'm like where Greg was, pie.
Right. Okay.
3.14.
3.14. Yeah. You know, the thing about it is, the starting pitchers, right? If they don't make the playoff, no. If they somehow blow this, right? And the starting pitchers, the big concern that we had, 2 and 3, Mize hadn't been bad. Flaherty hadn't been bad. It's like the one of the things that we've asked to come around might be coming around as their lead is piddling away.
Well, the problem is that, and this is the problem typically with teams throughout a season, is it's rare that you get everything clicking on all cylinders at the same time. So while the starting pitching's going, the bullpen is starting to fray a little bit, and the lineup is not, scoring as much as you'd like. Yeah, they had the 2 blow-up games against the Yankees, but, since then, a little sporadic here, and it's a very short sample size since the Yankees series, but that's where we're at. I mean, that's how things work.
So something really interesting today that AJ Hinch told our morning show, he said when Scuba went out to throw his pen on Monday, I think it was, they said he really pushed himself. So, I mean, from a standpoint of is he healthy, that would be elite good news, right? If he is healthy. And I'm going to tell you something about today. This entire season, we have taken calls from people going, I don't understand why they took Scooble out after 88 pitches. I don't understand why they took Scooble out after 85 pitches. Let me tell you something. You take Scooble out in May after 88 pitches, or in June after 85 pitches, so that today you can leave him in there a little bit longer. Provided he is back to 100% and that health scare was nothing more than some sort of weird human body glitch. Today's the day you throw him 105. Like, today's the day you ask him to give you, yeah, we need you to go out and start the eighth as well. Right? I mean, this is what you've been saving up, rationing innings for school before, if he's 100% healthy. The whole panic meter thing goes off the charts if anything goes wrong health-wise today.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, isn't this – this is a game. This is a – everybody needs to calm that down. I got this classic JV start. Scooble's got to play that role. And, you know, we had Scooble going into Game 5 of the ALDS last year, right? Didn't work. Scooble owes these MFers. He owes these MFers. In a big game like this, snuff out some hope.
Well, didn't he have a big game against Cleveland earlier this year? Like, early in the season. The Tigers, I thought AJ was describing it. They lost the first couple games of the series. And then Scooble comes out, pitches a gem. They win the game, and then they have to play at Cleveland after that, and then the Tigers sweep them.
Yeah, but I'm talking about stakes here, right? The stakes in an early season game.
No, but all I'm saying is that, like, we've seen this before. Like, this is a similar situation where the Tigers have lost the first two games of a series against Cleveland. Now you've got a Scooble start to stop it, and then you're going to play Cleveland again next week. And, you know, if they can do the same thing they did earlier in the year, then – easy peasy, right?
I want Cleveland to understand, like, okay, you got Scooble last year in a huge game. Today's a huge game. Scooble owes these MFers in a big game. And I am getting sick of them. They are irritating. And I'm like, yeah, Rocchio. It's all coming back.
That guy.
But this is one of those games that the free agent to be. He's going to command massive free agent money, probably regardless of what happens today. But these are the kind of games that you want this guy for. And, I mean, it doesn't snuff out all hope, but it really does appear to get him back in a good spot. But, I mean, last night was frustrating, right?
Oh, it's totally frustrating. It's frustrating when, you know, you get down with two strikes and then the pitcher expands the zone and the Tiger hitters can't lay off of it. Or, you know, the strike zone is inconsistent from the home plate umpire anyway for both teams. He's just not very good. It's frustrating when you do make good contact with the ball and you get nothing to show for it because Stephen Kwan's chasing everything down no matter where it is. Yeah, very frustrating. And then you go into a ninth inning and you haven't scored.
248-539-9797. Let's go to Hobbs. You're on 97 on the ticket. Hello, Hobbs.
What's up, fellas? I'm actually right by Comerica Park. I might try to go to this game. I think this is a great spot. I would love to see top of 9, 2-1 Tigers and Scooble's at 96 pitches or 101. I think AJ just, you know, goes by. If I'm sure Scoobs is going to be pumped up beyond belief today. And I think you just go off him. And I don't think we're going to be able to re-sign him anyway, so I'm looking to get what's left in the tank today for sure. So go Tigers.
On a scale of 1 to 12, where are you on the panic meter?
You know, I mean, the best part about the Diamondbacks back in the day is, you know, Randy had Schilling. With one stud, I think it's hard to go deep and win it all anyway. But, I mean, probably an 8.5.
Wow, okay.
You're panicked.
Yeah, that's pretty high. All right. Yeah. Hobbs, thank you. 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson. Got a gentleman here. It says he's at a 10 on the panic meter outside of Comerica Park. I'm still pretty low because we're talking about making the playoffs. And if the lead were comfortable still, you know what we'd be talking about today? How the starting pitching is rounding into form at the right time. Mize and Flaherty. But they keep losing games because they're not scoring runs, and the bullpen is melting down. And that's – so now it's like, all right, they got to take care of business. Got to take care of business. Don't want to get ahead of ourselves.
Well, I
But damn it, make the playoffs because Flaherty and Mize are starting to pitch well.
I haven't looked closely enough to the other divisions, but if the Tigers don't win the division, do they still have a chance to make it as a wild card? Or is that something to be scary about?
I haven't even looked at that. I haven't even thought about that.
Because I know the Yankees are
Well, if Cleveland,
they're four games back at Toronto, and I think the Yankees and Boston are both four games back at Toronto. So you got two teams there that are vying for it, and then you've got Houston and Seattle that are almost deadlocked out in the West.
Yeah, I mean, they'd have a
chance. Teams playing good baseball.
Yeah, because Cleveland's 2.5 games out of the wild card. So if Cleveland catches up to and passes Detroit, the opportunity's there. I mean, you don't want to do that. But, hell, you don't want to play – like, I'm glad Seattle lost because you don't want to play in that first round. They still have a two-game lead over that. We got to remind ourselves, even though they're not playing great, is if you go back to the beginning of the season and tell everyone this is a scenario, everyone would take it. Every single one of us would take it. They built up the lead, which was an astronomical lead, which was probably playing over their heads. They've come back to earth. And they've earned this spot. They've earned this. But they got to close the deal. 248-539-9797. Doug Karsh, Scott Anderson. We swing around the NFL next. We'll bring Kang back in for the Wide 9 Omaha 4 Down Around League Blitz thingy. 97-1, the ticket.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Rico Beard. Did you know the Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, but also a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Catch the full episode, listen to individual hours, or just jump straight to the highlights. Open up your favorite podcast app, search for Valeni Show with Rico, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way on your time.
All right, Doug Karsh, Scott Anderson, 97-1 a ticket. We will get back to some Tiger talk. Ton of texts coming in. We got some line stuff to sprinkle in. But every Thursday at this time, we swing around the NFL with the Blitz thingy. A six-pack of questions from the National Football League. And what I went first yesterday or Tuesday with the college one, right? So you're up first.
That's right.
All right. Kang,
here
let's
we go,
go,
boys. Gator, you're up first. The Colts, they're 2-0, led by Daniel Jones. That's right, Daniel Jones. He has 588 yards passing, two touchdowns, no interceptions, and a quarterback rating of 111.1. Are Daniel Jones and the Colts for real?
I think they're for real when it comes to their own division. I think they can win the division. It's not a very good division. But as far as being a Super Bowl contender, no, I don't think they're for real with that. I think Daniel Jones is, you know, he's an okay quarterback. I think he's probably below average, but he's got a couple pieces around him that help make him better and make the team better. Jonathan Taylor, that helps. Having the new tight end, Taylor Warren, that helps as well. But the offensive line is pretty good. But beyond that, they need some help. They don't have the weapons, enough receivers, I don't think. Defensively, they're okay. They're maybe even a little bit better than okay, but I just don't see them being complete enough to compete for the Super Bowl, but I do think they're good enough to win the division.
Guys, Daniel Jones and the Colts doing this, I knew it was coming all along.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Here we go.
This is an unbelievable start. The Colts are the first team in NFL history to start a season by scoring on each of their first 10 possessions. They're the first team in the Super Bowl era to not punt in their first two games. This is incredible. And you mentioned their division. Yeah, they're for real. They'll go to the playoffs because they'll win this division. Houston might not be very good. Tennessee is an authentic 0-2. And if you take a look at this, the seasoning and the system, Baker Mayfield, right? It took Baker Mayfield a minute, and it took Baker Mayfield the right system. And now you've got Daniel Jones. He might be the next guy that in his 2.0 is so much better than his 1.0. And there's a weird theory going around out there that, like, the 5 weeks he spent in Minnesota with Kevin O'Connell last year, Kevin O'Connell fixed him. I don't know if I believe it, but that theory's out there. I think they're for real.
Doug, I don't think they're for real, but I'm always wrong, so they must be real. That's what I'm going with this one. I'm like, will the real Daniel Jones please stand up? Because what the stats you've read, that's all, it's amazing. I cannot believe it's true. Surprisingly, though, the last couple years, the Colts, even though with, you know, AR at quarterback or Gardner Minshew, they've been 8-9 and 9-8. So they haven't been, like, awful. If they just get some good quarterback play, they actually might be a real threat to the division and in the playoffs. So, like I said, I don't really think it's real, but I'm always wrong, so I'm going with it is real. I'm going with Costanza theory here. They just needed a good quarterback play, and Dan Jones might actually be one of those quarterbacks that's resurrecting his career, like you said, a la Baker Mayfield, a la Sam Darnold. So he could be that guy this year at least. All right, speaking of quarterbacks, Joe Burrow is projected to miss 3 months after toe surgery. This is the third time in his career he's been put on IR. This has led some people to compare him to Andrew Luck, who retired early. Is Joe Burrow the next Andrew Luck?
So I watch quarterback on Netflix, so I know him personally.
That's right.
he's a little flaky, in my opinion, and that's probably not fair. But in watching that show, I thought, okay, he's a little flaky. He might be normal to somebody else, could he walk away from the game? I feel like he could, like, become a fashion maven type of dude that I want to branch out and do something else in my career. But these are really personal decisions. Not everybody's a Chris Borland who walked away or Andrew Luck who walked away. Odds are he's not going to do it. But I think he's quirky enough that I could be wrong. Maybe he would.
See, I don't think guys that are flamboyant like that are ready to walk away. I think Burrow is wired to be way more competitive than Andrew Luck was. I think he wants it so badly, and I think he takes it personally that he can't play. If he retires, I don't think it would be a proactive retirement like it was for Andrew Luck, who just didn't want to put up with it anymore. And, hey, I dealt with some injuries, I don't want to anymore. I don't think that's the case. I think if Joe Burrow has to retire, it's because he's told you can't play the game anymore.
So, early retirement, no. But zero rings, yes. I think that's a big, very much in play right now. I mean, he just gets hit way too much. After six seasons, compared to Andrew Luck, he's been actually sacked more than Andrew Luck was their first six seasons in the league. It's just really hard to win, especially when you get hurt all the time. They refuse to work on the offensive line in Cincinnati. Instead, they're messing around with all these other player contracts. But protect your biggest investment, which is Joe Burrow, and he's just getting hit way too often. All right, Rams versus Eagles this week. Does the winner of this game become the favorite to win the NFC?
I think if the Eagles win, I think that they may be the favorite in the NFC. But if the Rams win, I don't think they are. I think that mantle and torch gets passed on to the Green Bay Packers. And, in fact, I think the Packers technically might be the odds-on favorite right now in the NFC. I think that just happened today. But no, I don't. If the Rams win, absolutely not. If the Eagles win, they've got a chance to still be the favorite to win.
Yeah,
the NFC.
I actually agree with you 100%. Eagles might be the favorite with a win. I don't think the Rams start leapfrogging teams, and I even like I personally like Tampa more than the Rams. But as far as technical favorite, no, I don't think they'll go.
Well, they're better coached.
He's hurt right now, man. He's coaching hurt. Uh-huh. You talking about Mouvet, your boy?
Yeah,
he's playing hurt.
So does the winner of this game become the favorite in the NFC? Yeah, only if the Eagles win. But if the Rams win, I'll be very impressed. But it puts them in the mix with everybody else, which is the Niners, the Lions, the Packers, the Commanders, the Buccaneers. So the NFC is tough this year. But if the Rams beat the Eagles, I definitely elevate them, just not to the top of the NFC yet. All right, there are a lot of 0-2 teams right now. Who's the worst team in the NFL?
The Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, my. I thought we weren't doing hot takes.
I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. People would expect me to say Miami because I have never believed in their quarterback. I think their head coach is trying to find a gear that I'm not sure he has, which is crisis management mode. Their top receivers bitching publicly. But I don't think it's them. I thought they came that close to winning that game in New England. I think they look much better. I'm not burying them just yet. It's the Carolina Panthers. Bad play in the trenches. The quarterback play, people say, is regressing. And there's holes at all levels on the defense. I think Carolina is the worst of the 0-2 teams.
I came down to Carolina and the team that I went with. I think Tennessee is for now. They're breaking in a new quarterback, which doesn't do them any favors. And they don't have a whole lot around him. They're really counting on the draft class they just had to step up. So I don't think this year they're going to do much. I think they're probably picking at the top of the draft again, which is good for them. They need to build the base, and they feel like they've got the quarterback. Like I said, they made some interesting draft picks on the defensive line and offensive line. They've got one of their draft picks who's a wide receiver who I think was in the fourth or fifth round. He's actually starting for them. So the draft class can help them out, but it's not going to come this season.
I'm with you, Doug. I think it's the Panthers. They don't have much over there. Bryce does not have much to work with. But also, I don't think Bryce Young is the answer, which is the biggest key here. They might be picking for his replacement in April. That's how bad I think the Panthers are, unfortunately. And for your surviving, those in survivor pools, so try to save the team playing the Panthers as long as you possibly can. All right, Tua Tagovailoa, Doug's favorite quarterback, told reporters this week that he can't do half the things Josh Allen does. They're playing the Bills this week. Is this really a cool thing for him to say, or would you not want your quarterback talking like that?
You know, normally I would say there's nothing wrong with killing them with kindness, right? That's if you're confident in your own abilities. And right now, I don't think that Tua is exuding a whole lot of confidence in his abilities, nor is his team instilling that kind of confidence in Tua. And they've got a head coach that's destined to be fired in the next few weeks. It's a dumpster fire in Miami. He shouldn't have said it like that. I just, you know, just say, oh, he's a great quarterback, period. And then, you know, move on to the next question. You could be as vanilla as you want at this point, but the second you add a little bit of flavor, you put yourself in more scrutiny under the microscope, and that's exactly what's happened. Tua is that flame is fading out quickly.
You know, there was when Tua was coming out, I have obviously said I didn't think he would be successful in the NFL, and there was a variety of reasons. One of them was his leadership style. I wasn't sure, unless he changed, that it would work in the NFL locker room. His tranquil state of mind, his serenity, and all that stuff. I just didn't know how that would play. And I think saying things like this is very healthy in the real world, and I think being tranquil in that serene state of mind, it might be very healthy in the real world. But the NFL is not the real world. It's a dog-eat-dog, brutal place. And I think him saying stuff like that kind of feeds into the weirdness that is Tua Tagovailoa from afar. This is how, and then you get into the injuries, but all that. But that has nothing to do with the question. So no, I don't think it's a cool thing for him to say.
Yeah, I don't mind giving your opponent credit and some respect, but this praise is much too much. And it sounds like it makes him sound like he sucks. You know, right? Like when he says, "I can't do any of that stuff." Like when you're 0-2, you don't want to give that vibe off to the rest of the team. And that's the vibe he's giving right now. Maybe not tell everyone, you know, how much you can't do right now, and start telling people how much you can do. Last one, the Monday night doubleheader averaged 13.5 million viewers. The NFL is doing very well with this. Do you like it, and should the NFL do more of these Monday night doubleheaders?
So I do like it because it's a standalone time spot. There's no other games going on. At 1-4 on Sunday, which is where this game would otherwise be parked, I probably am not seeing it anyway. Now I have the option to see it on Monday night, and so I enthusiastically started to watch that game before I fell asleep 6 minutes in. However, the option was there, and for that I appreciate. So I like the doubleheader, and I think they should do it more.
23-year-old Gator would love the doubleheader. I mean,
but now that you're 24.
Right, now that I'm no longer 23. Yeah, look, back in the day, I would have been at the bar all night long watching, and you get a second game, like, yeah, here we go. I have something else to entertain myself. Beyond just the first game. However, now that I'm no longer 23, it just doesn't do it for me, man. I think it waters it down. I think it takes away the specialness that is Monday Night Football. And the NFL has done a lot of that lately. You add the Thursday night game, the Sunday night game. Everything has kind of taken away the amplitude of what was Monday Night Football. And this is, you know, further neutering of it. I don't like it.
Yeah, I'm actually not the biggest fan either, Gator, and a couple reasons. One, it's the late start for the second game. I mean, if it's not compelling at all, or I'm just getting too tired, it's a Monday night, I'm like, Doug, I tune out then. Yeah, I turn it off, even though there was that option, Doug. But, you know, money runs everything. So week four has another doubleheader where the second game starts an hour after the first game. Week six is the same way as that one. Week seven is another true doubleheader that includes our lines in the early window, and then there's a second game at 10 o'clock. I watch Red Zone, you guys know this, so I don't get to watch too many games, a full game from start to finish, so I want to when I can. The Lions, Sunday night, and usually Monday night, but if there's too many games going on, that waters it down for me. So, but hey, if the ratings are so good, the NFL is just continue to do this.
All right, there it is. That concludes the Wide 9 Omaha 4 Down Around the League Blitz thingy. We'll continue with some Tiger discussion next outside Comerica Park. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. We'll talk some Lions today at 11 a.m. There could be an interesting percolating story coming out of Allen Park. We'll get to that at 11 a.m. 248-539-9797. We've asked people here in the beginning of the show, after losing back-to-back games here to the Cleveland Guardians, on a scale of 1 to 12, where's your panic meter at? Where's your panic meter at? When it pertains to winning, closing this out and winning the division. It's really weird because I'm encouraged with the starting pitching of late. That number two guy, they'll have options. Mize and Flaherty are both pitching better. And the Tigers keep losing. And, you know, I guess as we sat here, I'm worried about number two. Other problems, you know, are still there or are emerging here late as they try and close this thing out. 248-539-9797. This text, somebody sent us this. Guys, Kwan is not the reason they're losing. It's because their offense is pathetic and their bullpen is once again struggling. My panic level is 7. That's from an unnamed texter. Nobody said Kwan is the only reason they're losing. No. Kwan is taking runs away from them.
I think if I were to try to quantify how many runs he has saved the Guardians in the two games, I don't think I'm overstating it by saying I think he saved like 4 or 5 runs at this point.
I have 3, but whatever. I mean, in a one-run game, in the game that went to extra innings, I guess it turned out not being a one-run game, but in that game, it made a difference. No, and he's not the only reason they're losing. Of course not. Bro, is that how you interpreted what we said? Greg writes in 12, it's over. Greg,
all right, see you, Greg
does not think that the Tigers are going to win this division.
That's too bad.
Phil writes in, I know, right? Phil writes in, my panic meter is at an 8 because of their struggles over the last month and a half. It seems like when they lose, the pitching is decent and there's no hitting, or the hitting is good and the pitching is horrible. They just cannot gel. It's frustrating to watch batter after batter strikes go right down the middle of the plate and then swing at pitches in the dirt. These guys need to get it together pronto. So Phil's got them at 8. The sample size of them not playing well is growing, and with it, when it grows, the fears become more authentic, in my opinion. I'm still not there yet, but their play is making this question far more warranted. And I mean, some of you said, but telling you this is coming for a while. Got it? Yep, sure. But do you still think they're going to blow the division? That's why we're asking about the panic meter. What do we got here? Theft in Clarkston says, I'm a 3 on the panic meter. I trust the hinge plan. He has been playing and managing for October for about a month now. Much better than the Iser plan.
Can we talk about the name Theff?
I'm going to guess he did voice to text. And I don't know what Theff is supposed to be, because instead of Hinch, it says Hinge. I think he meant the Hinge plan. He might have meant the Hinge plan. But what could Theff be? I mean, his name is either T-H-E-F-F, which I've never heard before, or
Seth.
Maybe he said Seth, and it came out Theff. I think we should roll with Theff.
Theff.
Theff. Theff, let me tell you something. If your name really isn't Theff, but you sent that text, from here on out, in your crew, you tell your boys you want to be known as Theff.
Yeah, or I hope your boys are listening. And
we'll do it on their own, yep. Marlon in Wild Lake. Good morning, gentlemen. My panic level is at a 7 for the Tigers. The only reason it's not higher is because Cleveland is our kryptonite, and we have Scuba going on the mound today. If we lose this game, my panic level will just be at a 12. There's nothing left to say after today. That's from Marlon.
Well, I guess today is a pretty important game.
Yep. Yep.
And I honestly think today is an important game. I think it's important for the sanity of the fans. And I think it's important for the psyche of the players. I mean, the players need to experience winning again. and beating a really good team that at times has had their number. And the Tigers have had – look, they swept Cleveland earlier this year too. So it does go both ways, but this is a battle. And this is the team that prevented them from going to the ALCS last year. It's an important game today. There's only, what, 9 games left in the season, 10 games left in the season, whatever it is. They're all so very important.
248-539-9797. Let's go to Steve. You're on 97.1 The Ticket. Good morning, Steve. We lost Steve. Back to ticket text. Bill of Madison Heights says, hi, Doug and Gator. I'm at a 4 right now. If they lose today, it's a 10. That's how big this game is. I also think you're overhyping Mize and Flaherty a bit. Neither one of them can seem to get through 6 innings. Bill, let me be clear what I'm saying. They are pitching better.
A lot better.
Full stop. If that's overhyping, then so be it.
Well,
they are pitching better than they were.
Yeah, and I do think that they're it's funny how we look at pitching today compared to what we did maybe just a few years ago even. That if you get 5 innings out of a starter and he gives up 1 run or less, it's an excellent outing, even though it's only 5 innings. It's barely half the game. But that's how it is these days. It's about pitch counts and all that. And some of these guys need to be more efficient so they can pitch longer into games. That would be great. Maybe trust the defense a little bit more and maybe not hunt for the strikeout as much. But whatever the case is, I think the starting pitching has been better. But as the starting pitching got better, the bullpen got weaker. And the hitting has been sporadic. Inconsistent, I think, is probably a better word than sporadic.
I'm not going to read this one about Kwan and food poisoning. No, we don't like that. We don't endorse that. Scott Carlton says,
can happen.
Can Steven Kwan play edge for the Lions? By the way, I'm a 4 on a scale, 1 to 12.
I think Steven Kwan would find a way to take the most efficient route to the quarterback and do it in a subtle way every game where at the end of every game you're going, wow. Right. When Kwan got in there, he's so good.
Is he
like the best player that's not a superstar? And I'm not even close to a superstar. This guy isn't. It's not like he's gone 25 and 100.
The only thing I can think, what we don't do is we don't watch every Guardian game.
Right.
But when the Guardians play the Tigers, he's Superman.
In games we watch.
Yep. This person didn't sign their text, which is a shame. When the Tigers finish this epic collapse,
no.
It's 100% on Scott Harris.
Oh, there we go.
The GMs in this town are all about sustainability and keeping the seats full. Championships are not a priority.
I don't think it's ever about keeping the seats full. Dude. Sustainability, I'll agree with. And being able to sustain playoff runs, yeah. I don't think the Tigers wanted to mess with that mix at the deadline because those players to put you over the top weren't available. I just don't think they were.
Yes, they were. Don't you read the internet?
Thank you. But they weren't available.
But this is the kind of thing. Hold on. First of all, the Lions sell out no matter what.
Yeah.
The Red Wings are kind of there, too. The Red Wings always have butts in the seats. This place, they need to be competitive. Do I think that motivated? Do you think butts in the seats is what motivated Brad Holmes? No.
No.
I don't think even remotely close if you're going to say all the GMs in this town. Secondly is real trade talk. Real trade talk between actual general managers that actually takes place is way different than the fantasy trade talk that we see out there on the internet. We love to talk about it, but in the end, Brad Holmes lifted the window a little bit and said, guys, Max Crosby wasn't available. They weren't trading him.
Well,
I mean, I can choose not to believe that. I can choose to believe it, I guess, or not to believe it, but getting mad about trades that you don't even know that were really possible, I always find it's fine to be frustrated. But these kind of accusations are just to be over the top. I can't endorse that text.
I can't relate to that when it comes to the Lions because I think the Lions have done an amazing job of building this team the right way with the foundation of great players, with great drafts year in and year out, and having the right coaching staff where you see – you know, this team, I think the window of winning a Super Bowl is there for many years because of what they've done. With the Tigers and Red Wings, I think both teams have taken maybe I don't know if it's a similar approach or not, because in football it's different. I think guys can hit the ground running and make an impact right away. In baseball and hockey, with your drafts, you're drafting 18-year-olds, it's different. So I do think that Yzerman and Scott Harris both believe in the same theory, which is about building a team that can be sustainable for years. So when this guy says sustainable and uses this dirty word, I don't. I think it's a great word.
Right.
Because you need to build that foundation. And maybe you as a person, as a fan, you're ready to go ahead and trade Max Clark and go ahead and be damned. Go ahead, trade Max Clark and others and get Eugenio Suarez. That's not what he's thinking. He's thinking Max Clark could be my center fielder for the next 15 years. Or Kevin McGonigal will be an infielder with this team for the next 10, 15 years. That's what they're thinking, and that's what they want to put in on this team.
Well,
and with Iserman, it's been a slow burn, and I get it. I'm losing patience, too, like everybody else is, but I'm not.
That's a whole different
name. Yeah, but this is a year that these young players they have better take a big step forward, and they need to make the playoffs, but we'll get into Iserman later.
Yeah, that's a team that's not competing for championships, that's not making moves. These two teams are competing for a championship. And, look, I mean, unnamed Texter GM guy would do it different. Got it. Noted. 248-539-9797. More phone calls and feedback coming up. Interesting story percolating out of Allen Park. It pertains to our Lions. Could be some good news. That is at 11:02 here on 97.1 The Ticket.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Rico Beard. Did you know the Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, but also a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Catch the full episode, listen to individual hours, or just jump straight to the highlights. Open up your favorite podcast app, search for Valeni Show with Rico, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way on your time.